Okay, everybody, this is our second lesson in the Holy Spirit. We call it pneumatology, the breath of God, the study of the Holy Spirit. And we actually have spent a number of weeks prior to this going through the first half. And this half might be called the controversial half because we're going to be talking about some things as we started last week on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this week we'll be talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But let's start with a song. Is there a praise song that comes to your mind that you'd like to sing?
I keep singing this one, but I don't know the words. It goes da 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 da.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know the words right in front of it. That's a beautiful, beautiful song. How about the thank you, Lord, for saving my soul? Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. So, Father, we thank you this morning for Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you that the gospel of Jesus Christ that we'll be speaking of later this morning is the heart of God and the heart of the Word of God and should be the heart of every believer. And so thank you, Lord, for the good news that you came and died, you were buried, and you rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Thank you, Lord, that because we have put our faith in Christ alone for salvation, Lord, you give us that blessed assurance. And so, Father, we pray now that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher today and guide us into truth. Help us, Lord, to know your mind and your heart. Help us not to grieve you today or throughout this week. And, Lord, we pray that you'd be glorified through this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So the last time we actually taught this lesson was March 1st, 2015. So this is good stuff. In fact, it's lesson 7 altogether, even though it's the second part of the part 2. This is what the context is. For those of you that are listening online, and we do have quite a few people that do that, thank you for doing that. You can download the notes on the website, and this is what the class is about. What are the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit? When are these gifts given? And how are they to operate in the context and under the umbrella of the local church? That is a loaded sentence, all right? So let's start. Lesson outline number 1. Where are the 4 lists of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in Scripture, and why is there not one complete list? Wouldn't that be nice? Would that be handy if God had given us one complete list? He didn't do that. Let's hear from you. Why do you think he didn't do that?
He wanted us to dig through his word.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's a good enough answer. Any other ideas?
I think he mostly didn't want to prioritize them, kind of spread them around.
Yeah, he knows.
That's good too.
He knows how we're wired, and if he'd given us one list, we would have said number 1 is more important than 2, and so forth. So there are 4 lists that we find in the New Testament, and it's really easy to remember. It's Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. 1 Peter 4. So can you remember that?
Wait, say it again.
Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
All right. So if you're looking for the address of the listings of the gifts of the Spirit, so let me give you a little bit more in that. All right, so it's chapter 12, Romans 12, 3 through 8. Romans 12, 3 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12 through chapter 12 through chapter 14. That's probably the most inclusive list, and we're going to be spending some time there today. Ephesians 4, 7 through 11, and 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11. All right. I want to camp here for just a moment. The reason why I think that there's not one complete list is because the gifts of the Spirit are as unique to the believer as are our fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Why did God... Think about this. Why do you think God gave you 10 fingerprints? Why didn't he just give you one for both hands and maybe the same fingerprint for all 10 toes? Why a different fingerprint?
Are you being unique?
I thought they were the same.
To be unique?
Yes, Becky, I think what God is trying to say is that you're not just unique, you're a one of a kind. You are precious and special in God's sight. God created you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says, Psalm 139, and that my soul knows very well. So for God to take the time to give you 10 different fingerprints, 10 different toe prints, speaks to the absolute creativity and uniqueness of every individual person. Whether they're a believer or not, God has made us individually unique. So think about this. When you get to heaven, no one will worship God like you. Mm-hmm. You are one of a kind. So we're going to see in just a moment that these gifts that God has given are so unique to you, it's not right for us to compare the gifts with each other. So I might have the gift of exhortation, and I believe I do, which is just the gift of encouragement, the gift of encouraging towards a goal. My passion is to encourage people to know their Bibles and to know the Word and to know what God has called them to do and then do it. So you're going to hear that all the time in my teaching, in my messages. Find out what God wants you to do and then do it. There's a lot of controversy right now over Nike, but what is their phrase or their thing?
Heard.
Just do it, right? That's what God wants us to do. Just do it. Just do what I ask you to do. Be obedient to do what I ask you to do. So I don't want you to miss that, and that's why I'm spending the time on this first question. Don't compare your giftings with somebody else. God has given you unique gifts, a unique personality, unique backgrounds, unique character, all for his purpose and for his glory. Okay? You going to say something? Yes?
Yeah, I think a good example of that is in the last chapter, John. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. And then he says, and when Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me.
All right, so explain.
He was comparing. Peter said, what about
yes,
him?
Yes.
And that was, and Jesus rebuked him for that.
Yeah. Thank you. I missed it there for a second. I need to be drawn by the hand sometimes. But yeah, you're exactly right. And that's our nature is to say, well, yeah, what about this? Yeah. What about me? And we just need to accept what God has given us and use the gifts that God has given us to the best of our ability for the glory of God. Not worry about somebody else. Keep our eyes on our own paper and recognize that God has gifted you in a way that he hasn't gifted anybody else. So it's not right to compare yourself with other believers. Okay? Mm-hmm. Hopefully you got that. Because that's a real problem in the church.
I know I have a problem with that sometimes.
We all do. Mm-hmm. All of us do.
And then, but the Spirit checks you and says, no, don't do that.
Yeah, I think it grieves the Holy Spirit because, you know, when we compare ourselves to others, we either think we're better than others, which is sin, or we think we're not as good as somebody else, and that's as much of a sin. God has made us complete and perfect just the way he wanted us. All right? Okay, so let's look at the biblical description of spiritual gifts. And these words in parentheses just helps me to know where I get this material. And so Elmer Towns, part of Liberty University, he taught a class in pneumatology, in theology, and I got a lot of this from him. So the source of the gifts is where? Where is the source? It's God, right? The gifts of the Spirit come from the Spirit. And it's given to all believers, right? The purpose of the gifts, be careful.
Ministry.
It's to build up the body of Christ.
There you go. Mm-hmm. It's the edification of the body of Christ. Now, don't forget that, because that's going to come back to us. They're not for your personal edification alone. That would not be consistent with why God gave the gifts. Therefore, the edification of the body of Christ. The nature of the gifts is a spiritual ability that is sovereignly given, a spiritual ability. And the discovery of the gifts is in a proper relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so it's important that every believer know what their spiritual gifts are. And I am shocked at the number of people who call themselves professing believers who have no idea what their gifts are. You need to know what your spiritual gifts are. Mm-hmm. Now, if I was to go around the circle right now, and I'm not going to, but if I was, and ask the question, okay, Carol, Becky, Dahlia, all right, let's just think about this. What are your gifts? Not your spiritual gifts, but your gifts. What are you good at? Without hesitation, you'd be able to tell me. I hope so. Right? All right. Well, I mean, because God has given us natural gifts, right? And if you love your natural gift and gifting, you're going to be absolutely overjoyed with your spiritual gifts. So wouldn't it stand to reason that if you enjoy your natural ability, your natural gift that God has given you, that you should know your spiritual gifts so that you can enjoy that as well. Now, sometimes people just don't know because they haven't thought about it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to think about it today. All right? Mm-hmm. Everybody okay with that?
Yep.
All right. So the responsibility, the scripture says every believer must do their part or do their share. And if every believer knew their spiritual gift and were using it, what would be the consequences of that in a good way?
The body's going to be built up strong and healthy.
Exactly. There'll be a strong church. And so if a church is hurting, it could be because somebody's not using their spiritual gift. And we rely on the pastor and the pastor's wife and the elders, teachers, and people that seem to step up and step in to do everything in the church. Mm-hmm. You've heard this statistic that 20% of the church does 80% of the work.
Yeah, something like that.
10% of the people give 90% of the offerings.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right. Okay, we need to understand that when God has given you a gifting, it's for a purpose, to edify and build up not just you will be, but also the body of Christ. There is joy in serving Jesus. Do you know that song?
Mm-hmm.
Hey Tom, guess what? All hymns this Sunday. There is joy in serving Jesus. That's a great hymn of the faith. All right, the number. There should be a plurality of godly men and women all using their spiritual gifts. All right, I just long to see the day and see a church that is completely, wholly, fully committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the use of their spiritual gifts. What an amazing church that would be. I think we already have an amazing church, but how much more wonderful.
I'll be right back.
Okay. How much more wonderful if we all were using the gifts God gave us. So the identification there, gifts are given to people specific to their personalities, and again, as unique as our fingerprints. Okay, so biblical description. Now let's look at some Greek words to help us understand, and maybe you can help us out here, Dahlia.
I know them.
All right, pneumatikon. Did I say that right?
That's to do with the spirit that breathing in and out. Pneumos is the lungs. So pneumatic, like pneumonia, has to do with coming in and coming out.
Wow, that's awesome. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
1 Corinthians.
Now, this is an adjective, so what is an adjective?
I'm describing a noun.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, person.
So, from my notes, and see if this agrees with what Dahlia just said, pneumatikon gives meaning to the thing and to the source, gives meaning to the thing or person that possesses it. Directs the attention to the source of a Christian spirituality. In other words, the spiritual gifts are God-breathed, the lungs, right? And God himself gives them. So look at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, the word gifts there is pneumatikon. Brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So, unfortunately, the church at Corinth was ignorant about spiritual gifts. In some cases, they were ignorant because they were using them improperly. And we have to remember, again, we talked last week about Acts. Acts is a bridge to get from one thing, one side to the other, from the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, to the New Testament. So we don't camp on the bridge. A lot of theologians, a lot of churches take a lot of their doctrine from 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Nothing necessarily wrong with that, because it's a letter of, both were letters from the Apostle Paul. But why were those two letters written to the church at Corinth?
Because they were out of control with their speaking in tongues.
Thank you, Linda. Well, it's not just speaking in tongues, but you're right. Yeah, just so many things. And they were arrogant, and they needed correction. So, you know, if we're going to take our instruction and we're going to camp in Corinthians and Corinth, we need to understand that the Apostle Paul wrote the letters because the people there were out of control.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think that was a good way to put that. They needed correction. They needed rebuke. And that's exactly what Corinth and Corinthians is all about. So, let's hear it again. Pneumatikon is... gives meaning to the thing or person that possesses it. Directs the attention to the source of a Christian spirituality. So spiritual gifts are God-breathed, and he's the one that controls them. He's the one that gives them. All right, now let's look over at...
Charismata.
Yeah. Charismata?
Charismata. Joy.
Yes. Yeah. For, so, Kara.
It's the CH, it's really trying to pronounce the H sound.
So, CHARA is
yes,
joy.
Yes, it's really, it's written like an X.
Right. So, that's joy.
Joy.
So, Charis, CHARIS, is.
Haris.
Charis.
It's a joy. It's a gift of joy. Herde, like greeting people, your joy is herde, you see.
In theology, charis or charis is grace.
Oh, okay. So maybe it comes from that later on.
So joy is the root of grace.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
So when we were thinking about naming one of our children, mm-hmm. we were thinking of Charis. Charis. Very pretty.
Yeah.
Means grace. And the root of grace is joy. So let's look on verse 2 there. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That verse is very applicable to our message this morning in the service following. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts. That's charismata. Okay, so gifts are given by grace, by the Holy Spirit, for the purpose of the filling of joy, of being encouraged in the use of them, all right? I don't want to dwell on this too much. So the next word, pronounce that for us.
Diakonia.
Diakonia.
I think, I'm not sure, I think it means holy, majestic, supreme, my Lord.
So there are differences of ministries, mm-hmm. all right? A ministry given by the Lord. Again, you see a theme going on here? So the gift is given by God. The grace is given by God. The ministry is given by God. The purpose being to minister to others, to give it away. All right?
Okay.
The next word.
Energema. I think it's power.
All right, look at verse 6. Verse 5, there are differences of ministries. Diakonia. There are diversities of activities or works. What does the NIV say? Chapter 12, verse 6.
Okay, I'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men.
Okay, so the New King James says there are diversities of activities,
mm-hmm.
and the NIV says works, right?
Yep.
Okay, and that's the meaning of the word. Energema, energy. The energy of the Holy Spirit to set his will in motion. All right? And then the last word there.
Phanerosis.
Phanerosis.
Makes an appearance,
okay.
Shows a witness.
So verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of us, one for the profit of all. So that word is the word manifestation. Anything different there in the NIV?
No, it's just manifestation of the Spirit given for the common good.
To make visible. So when something is manifest, what happens?
You put the lamp on the stand.
Yeah, people see it. It's clearly visible. The work of the Holy Spirit is made clear. So this is let's put this into one, and don't try to write this down because it's too, I was going to have it on the board, but I didn't get here early enough. So my fault.
Yeah.
Therefore, a spiritual gift is spiritual in character, pneumatikon, sovereignly given by God the Holy Spirit, charismata, to minister to others, diakonia, in the power of God, energema, with an evident manifestation of the Holy Spirit through the Christian as he serves God, phanerosis. Okay, so what are we seeing here? We're seeing that the Spirit of God gives sovereignly the gifts. So this flies in the face of those that continue to ask for gifts. The Bible doesn't say that we have the responsibility to ask for any gift because God has already given it to us sovereignly. For what purpose?
To edify
the body,
yeah.
And to manifest the will and work of God to the church and to the community of believers, all right? So the very notion of pastors, churches, saying you need to ask for X, Y, and Z gift is not really biblical. Now, remember what I said a couple of weeks ago? I believe, and some of my Baptist friends would be horrified to hear this, but I believe when you get the Holy Spirit, at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you get all the gifts.
All of them.
Potentially, all of the gifts. God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, with whoever he wants. Okay? So the idea that, one gift supersedes another, we have gifts that are better than others. For example, if somebody were to ask me to come over to their house and fix their plumbing, they would be sorely disappointed.
Yeah.
It's not my gift, right? Some of you have heard this illustration before. We had a lady in our church, very mature believer in Parker, a very godly lady, a senior woman, and we were all having our pot trust meal, and everybody's working to clean everything up and kind of working together to make, you know, to just clean up and get everything back in order. And she was walking out, and somebody said, so-and-so, where are you going? She said, well, I'm leaving. Well, aren't you going to help us? No, that's not my spiritual gift. That was a wrong answer. All of us need to be helping one another, right? And the gift of helps, you may not have the gift of helps, but you need to be helping.
Yeah.
You may not have the gift of evangelism, but you need to be sharing your faith.
Yeah.
You may not have the gift of giving, but you need to give.
Sometimes.
You see? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So just because you think you know what your gifts are doesn't give you permission not to. Yes, Tom.
Well, I was just thinking, sometimes we don't recognize our own gifts, but we can recognize gifts in others that they don't recognize.
Yes.
And so bring it out.
Right.
Share
it.
Good. Thank you. In fact, sometime in the next week, this week or next week, we'll actually take some time to do that.
To here, each other, you mean?
Like, yes.
Yeah. Okay. We got to concentrate on that.
Here's an interesting phrase. I would rather somebody not know their gift and be using it.
Yeah, then know what
Then know what their gift is and not use it.
Yeah. Or be proud of it.
Or be, yes.
But some of them are like a little insulting, like there's the gift of discernment, and you could be telling people, I know, like, what you're thinking. That's kind of like, no, you don't. Don't go there. But that's a gift of the sun. Or they get insulted because you say something negative about
it. Well, I'll say one thing about the gift of discernment. My sheep know my voice. So if it seems a little false,
then
run.
Right.
Yeah, that's very wise.
Yes, it's a good idea to run.
Yeah, that's. Thank you for sharing that, Dahlia, because there are always folks that are going to misuse.
Mm-hmm.
And they may mean well, but if they're misusing their gift or think that they have a gift and they don't, or they're not mature in the Lord, they need to be corrected in love, right? I've had people come up and say, God told me to tell you this is what you need to do.
Right.
And I'd say, well, respectfully, thank you. But until God tells me. We had a lady in our church years ago. You may remember this, Carol. She sat right behind me. And she's touching my shoulder as I'm on the front row like I always am. And she says, God has given me a word for this morning. I need to share something. And my mind was racing, thinking, I don't want to say no to this woman. You know, I want to. We have as our church motto, we want to be the church that says what?
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to say yes. So I'm thinking, I want to say yes. Pastor, are you going to let me speak? I've got a word. The Spirit of God's given me a word. finally I said, he hasn't told me that you haven't worked. So no.
But if he did, then you would listen to it.
That's true, and I'll have to answer for that. But he's also given me the role of shepherd of the flock,
mm-hmm.
and protector mm-hmm. of the flock.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular woman had had a bit of a history of not being very...
So you had some discernment about
it. I had some, yeah, and I don't have the gift of discernment to the extent that I should. When we get there, I'll tell you more about that. Pastors sometimes struggle with the gift of discernment because they have such a strong gift of mercy that they get in trouble. And
sign me up for that.
Yeah, I've been,
I am so vulnerable. God's a God.
Me too. We are, aren't we?
Just it's like, oh my gosh.
It's kind of sad.
That's why I shouldn't be a landlord.
Yeah. Sheree has the gift of discernment. And that can be a really hard gift to have.
Yes, it is.
She has a gift of discernment, and there were times she'd come up to me and she'd say, because I put somebody in a position of leadership, and she said, you shouldn't have done that. And I said, why? I'm a little defensive. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's something not right about that person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, until I know what's wrong with them, I can't not say that they can't be in ministry. She said, I'm just telling you.
Who said that?
My wife.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just telling you.
I'm like you, Linda.
Was she right?
She was right.
Yes.
And I've had to learn to listen. And to my shame, it's taken me decades to get there.
That's why she married you.
That's why the Lord gave me my wife,
mm-hmm.
to balance the gift of mercy.
That's right.
For every gifting, there's a good side and a bad side,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So you need people in your life. You need to listen. To other people in your life to help balance you, because you're going to get in trouble if you just go your own way. All right. So let's just take these principles, and there are 20 of them. We're just going to go through 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13 and 14 and put these down. All right. I love this. This is so cool. Why was Paul writing to the church in Corinth about spiritual gifts? We already established that in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, because they were abusing the gifts.
God does not want us to be arrogant.
Yeah, they were arrogant of their giftings, and they needed correction, in some cases rebuking. So these three chapters are very, very important. And we can find out a lot about what the parameters and borders, boundaries are for spiritual gifts just by looking at what the Bible says, all right? Are you ready? Okay. Principle number one, 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Somebody read that.
Now about spiritual gifts, brother, I do not want you to be ignorant.
So God does not want us to be
ignorant.
So will you write ignorant down there? And again,
the ESV says uninformed.
Uninformed?
Yeah.
ESV?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's
a little bit more precise, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To be ignorant, you just don't know.
Right.
But to be uninformed, you don't know what you don't know.
But you can be informed if you're uninformed. You can become informed.
You can become informed.
So he's informing them.
So pay attention. All right, principle number two. Somebody read verses 2 and 3.
You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed,
mm-hmm.
and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit.
All right, so... God is not the author of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
All right? 1 Corinthians 14:33. Look at that real quick. 1 Corinthians 14:33. Somebody read that.
For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints.
All right. So if God's not the author of confusion, who is?
Satan.
Okay, is it because Satan's confused?
No.
Yeah, no, he knows theology better than you do.
Mm-hmm.
better than I do. Okay, he knows truth better than any of us. But his objective is to confuse.
But our own sin nature,
yes,
can confuse us as well.
Yeah, very good. And
verse not comes, controlled by the Spirit.
Yeah, the verse comes to mind. It was Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful
above
all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't know that we're even lying to ourselves. So number two, put in the word confusion. God is not the author of confusion. Number three, who will read verses 4-7?
It's 1 Corinthians 12:4-7.
Yeah.
You know, it needs verse 3. Can I read verse
3
too? For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures.
You're in chapter 15.
Oh, I'm still in the Lord.
Chapter 12.
I wonder, I thought I needed that.
That's a good verse.
Yeah, read it. Sorry about that, guys.
That's right.
There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and on them. Yes? Oh, that would be 7.
Verse 7.
I'm sorry. Now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good.
Okay, so remember the words pneumaticon, charismata, diakonia, energema, phanerosis, all right? And this is so well, I mean, it's just so amazing. Diversities of gifts, same Spirit. Differences of ministries, same Lord. Diversities of activity, same God. What do we have there? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So principle number three, there are differences of gifts, ministries, activities, and manifestations of the same gift or gifts of the Spirit. So spirituality is when a believer uses the gifts given by the Holy Spirit. So again, the blanks, for those of you that are having a hard time keeping up, and I understand. Ignorant is number one. Confusion, number two. Gifts, number three. Number four, somebody read verses 8-11.
For one, two is given the word of wisdom, given to one for the profit of all. Oops, sorry. Through the Spirit to another word of knowledge, through the same Spirit, to the other faith by the Spirit. Same Spirit to other gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to other prophecies, to other discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But the one of the same Spirit works all these things, disturbing to each one individually as he will.
Thank you, Becky. So what words do we see there throughout 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times in the New King James, 8-11?
By the Spirit.
Same Spirit. Same Spirit. Same Spirit. Why do you think Paul felt like he had to say that to the church at Corinth?
So someone would not be puffed up with the gift that they had?
Maybe. And he had said, John said, to test the spirits, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are different kinds of spirits. And this Spirit is capitalized. So it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is giving gifts. And so this listing that we see here, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretations of tongues, is just one of four lists. Now, can you remember what those were? Again, where you find those four lists? Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12,
Ephesians 4,
and 1 Peter 4. All right, there you go. You got it.
Fours and 12s.
All right. Look at verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as what?
He chose.
He chose, or he pleased, verse 24.
He wanted them.
But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. How about verse 28? And God has appointed these in the church. So what is the point that we're trying to make here?
God is the
one to give the gifts as he wills. So under the blank there is give. God is the one to give gifts as he wills. All right. It's not our choice. I remember my brother, we were having some conversation years ago, and he confessed to me that he was jealous of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why? He said, he went on about my gifts, natural abilities, and he said, I wish I had those. And I said, boy, you know what? I've been jealous of you because I wish I had your gifts. So again, let's not compare ourselves to one another. It's not our choice. God gives the gifts sovereignly as he wills. Yes, sir.
The big problem is that we in the United States have a tendency to pay our pastors to do all the spiritual work, and we just let them do it.
Yeah.
When underground church in China, the one who is the pastor, he may not be paid. He's just on equal terms with the one who does the teaching or the one who does the ministry, the one who has the gifts of healing. They all work together, and they all do their job. But we sit on our ducks and watch the pastor perform because we pay him. Not only that, but his wife gets involved, and sometimes she ends up playing the piano and doing all the works. And it is detriment to our spiritual growth, I think, frankly.
I would agree with you. And I think that it does say that a man is worthy of his hire.
Sure.
But when we do that, we tend to elevate the position way beyond what God intended it to be. Mm-hmm. So people, for 25 years, and it's not so much now as it was even 5 years ago, people would come to me and ask me questions about permission to do just about everything. Now, that's because they're showing deference. They're trying to be respectful. But where did that come from? That pastors, part of it is pastors themselves who, yes, Tom, they probably shouldn't be given that much authority and power, but now that they have it, they don't want to let it go. And they become very Pharisaical in their power hunger, where they try to keep it to themselves instead of give it away.
And so many of them are on this pedestal. They have no friends. They have no communication with the brothers, and they're lonely. They're out there. They burn out.
And then you get, when you're on a pedestal, what happens?
You get knocked off.
Yeah. You get knocked off. Yeah.
But the Greek Orthodox church goes down and even have the curtain, and you're not allowed to go inside that area where the priest goes in. Mm-hmm. Yes, comes out with this incense, and it's all gilded. It's just like, you gotta stay quiet, don't say anything. Don't even read the Bible. No, because the priest will interpret it.
That's
just so grievous to the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And we need to thank you for sharing that. That's good observation. All right. Chapter 12, verses 12 through 21. Let's go back to 12 through 21. Somebody want to read that?
For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body.
In verse 21.
Oh, okay. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you.
Okay.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
All right, so principle number 5. The many members and gifts are to become one. Okay. And different translations are going to be different in the use of the word one, but I've highlighted them in my Bible, and there's a scat of them. Mm-hmm. One. What is that trying to tell us? One. Okay, even though there are many, many gifts, many, many people, there's one Spirit, and there's one purpose, the edification of the body as God gives the gifts. Now, principle number 6, verses 22 through 24. Somebody read that.
On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness, whereas our seemly members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked.
So every gift and every member of the body is an essential part of the body of Christ. No one member, as what Tom said a minute ago, is more essential to the body than another. And it grieves the Lord, I believe, when churches do that. We need to be humble and thankful that God has given us the gift or the gifts to use properly for the edification of the body. All right? How about verse 25?
I think the treatment that Jesus gave to little children, you know, the elders, the people standing around says, don't bother the children bothering, but Jesus gave to the least, the little children,
the greater honor.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah.
25.
Yeah.
That goes with this, so that there should be no division in the body.
Yes, isn't that great? Yeah. He paid attention to the little ones.
And in the New King James, the word division is the word schism.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, when I think of the word schism, I think of tearing. You know, there's a divide. S-C-H-I-S-M, schism, or schism, somebody might pronounce it that way.
I'm going to look that up.
So, gifts are given to the church for unity.
Mm-hmm.
Not division. Who causes division?
Satan.
Satan. It's his objective.
Accuser of the brother.
What's that?
Accuser of the brother.
Yeah.
And we help him along with
and
our
we do.
Sin nature.
The world of flesh and the devil.
Yeah. Yes.
Good. Verses 26 and 27. Somebody read that. We make it to the end of the page here.
If one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now you are the body of Christ and the members individually.
So every part of the body deserves recognition and honor. Verses 28 through 30.
And in the church, God appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, Also those having the gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with the gift of ministration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues.
So there's a very good reason why God appoints gifts in order and in priority. If you were to go to Ephesians 2:19-22, it speaks of Christ being the chief cornerstone.
Yeah.
And upon him, upon the apostles and prophets, they're built on that foundation. We are being built, as Peter says, a holy habitation, the house of God, the church of God. And we are being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, okay? So having known that, verse 29, look at that verse again. What does it say? Are all apostles? The Greek demands a no answer. Well, I mean, obviously, right? What's the, how did somebody become an apostle of Christ?
By studying the Lord.
By seeing him.
What's that?
Seeing him, walking with him.
Seeing him, walking with him, being chosen by him, all right? So was Paul an apostle?
Yes.
How was he an apostle?
Road to Damascus.
On the road to Damascus, Jesus confronted him, and he came to Christ, and Christ commissioned him as an apostle to the Gentiles. So the gift of apostleship isn't for, we don't all have that gift, all right? So we have to be careful, because this habitation of God, the church of God, if we think about it from the metaphor of a building, you have a foundation and you have a cornerstone. Christ is the cornerstone, the apostles and prophets are the foundation, and we are being built upon that, all right? So here's the question, do we have apostles today?
Yeah, they've seen God. I mean, spiritually, I would say yes.
Okay, when you look at, again, Ephesians 2:19-22. No.
If your definition of apostle is they had to walk with Christ physically, no, there's not apostles today. If you have a broader understanding of what apostles mean.
I just always heard everything.
I mean, you say you know God, don't you?
I don't know, maybe. Go ahead and turn over to Ephesians and look for yourself what it says there, because this is good. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19-22. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles. Do we have prophets today?
Why not? Isaiah, Jeremiah were prophets, but why can't they exist right now?
Well, they could, but if you're thinking strictly about what the scripture says here, the foundation is apostles, prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. So the analogy and metaphor is of a building. You don't keep laying foundations.
No.
You have one foundation.
Yeah.
Apostles, prophets, Jesus Christ himself, the cornerstone. So we have the gift of prophecy, but we don't have prophets. Prophets in the sense of foretelling. I don't believe we have prophets today.
Well, prophecy can come and go. Someone could see a word, and then that's
it. Well, as we'll see next week, the gift of prophecy is the gift of preaching. It's the proclamation of the word of God. And the charismatic movement would say it's also word of wisdom and word of knowledge, and we'll get there next week too. All right. But my position would be, big deal. That we don't have prophets today. We don't have apostles today. So when you hear some churches that say, this is apostle so-and-so, there were 12 apostles. Period. End of story. Okay, you don't keep having apostles. You don't keep building foundations. And the prophets. Now that we have the completed canon of the scripture, we don't need people to continue to tell us, thus saith the Lord. We have the word of God. And you may agree or disagree. We can talk more about it next week when we talk about a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. You know, that can be up for debate whether God's still doing that today. But we need to always subject those prophecies against what the scripture says. And if there's any question, we need to test the spirits to see if they're of God. Okay? So, I mean, you have certainly the right to agree to disagree if you take a different position. But from what the scriptures say there, it's our position as a church that we don't have prophets and apostles today. Okay? Where were we? Okay. Principle number 10, verses 31 through chapter 13, verse 13. What I'd encourage you to do is look at that passage this next week and also chapter 14 and do your best to try to fill these blanks in and be prepared to talk about that this next week. Because just as we were on the cusp of controversy this morning, we're going to get right into it next week. So invite your friends and enemies. And we'll have a good discussion next time.
I'm sorry, I missed that. You want
which one was it?
The blanks here, yeah. Or here.
Okay, let me fill them in for you.
Oh, you're going to do that? I thought you were supposed to do it.
Yeah, so yeah, we're up to principle 10. So I haven't given you 10, but I've given you 1 through 8. So principle 1 is ignorant, right? Mm-hmm. Principle 2 is confusion. Principle 3 is gifts. Principle 4 is give. Mm-hmm. Principle 5 is one. Principle 6 is body. Principle 7 is unity. Principle 8 is recognition. Principle 9 is reason. And I'll go ahead and give you number 10. Ready? We are to earnestly desire the best or greater gifts, which are, you'll have to find that out for yourself.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's the homework.
Thank you. So any other thoughts or questions before we close in prayer? You okay, Dahlia?
Yeah, thinking about
it. You look disturbed.
No. Oh, I always have that expression on my face. People say, why are you
wearing that?
Thinking.
You're thinking. But you also have that smile, that gift of God. I'm looking for in the list for the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of smiling. But you, you have the gift of. So let's sing that as we close. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 If you want joy, you must shout for it. If you want joy, you must shout for it. If you want joy, you must shout for it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, I have done in the past the joy of the Lord is ha 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 ha.
Yeah. Oh, he gives me living water and I thirst no more.
He gives me living water and I thirst no more. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Tom, would you close us in prayer today?
Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you very much for the instruction we're getting from you and how to recognize these gifts and use them to edify one another. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that we will always do this in grace, knowing that you are the cornerstone of our lives.
Thank you.
And that we will worship you and honor you. We are looking forward to being with you in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.